Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Zvachim Daf Mem. Hey, we begin at the Mishnah, which is six lines off the top of the Yomid. So we're meant to know that even a goy, the Torah allows even a goy to bring a korban, provided that it's a voluntary korban, a nedava. As opposed to an obligatory carbon, a carbon chayva, which only a yid can bring. Now, what status does a carbon of a goy have? Says the Mishnah. Although technically it's a carbon and offered on the mizbeach, the goy can't personally come in, but he'll send it in from afar. However, there are some differences. According to Rabbi Shimon, many halachas that are applicable to a carbon of a yid, such as pigel, noiser, tame, right? If the kohen had improper machshavos, it becomes pigel, and if one eats it, it's chayiv karas. Noiser, if the carbon material was left overnight, it becomes asur, and if one should eat it, he's liable to karas. Vitame, when the person is personally tame, he must keep away from eating this carbon. So all these halachas, and many others, apply only to a yiddish carbon, not a goyish carbon. Says the Mishnah, a carbon sent in by a guy, all these halachas, pigel, noiser, do not apply to a guy's carbon. Likewise, if one typically takes a carbon and does a shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayav koras, but not so by the carbon of a guy. Divrei, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosi Machayev, he says, no. If he does it outside, he's chayiv, and some learn that according to Rabbi Yosi, all these halachas apply to the carbon of a goy without differentiation. Okay, so we have some distinctions between a carbon of a yid and a carbon of a goy. Pigel, noiser, ratam, shechita, b'chutz. Here comes some more. Tana Rabbana, says the Braisa. Kach of the carbon of a goy, loinen, and although you're not meant to divert it for personal use, it's an isur b'der Rabbana, but technically, if one does so, he has not committed. He has not transgressed the severe violation called mi'ila, which necessitates bringing a carbon for doing so. That doesn't apply by a goyish carbon. And likewise, ve'in chayav ralei misham pigel, noisar, v'tami, all these don't apply. Furthermore, ve'in oisin tmura. In contrast to a yiddish carbon, which can generate a tmura, he takes another animal, puts it next to the carbon, says this should be an exchange, the kedusha extends over to that additional carbon. Not so the carbon of a goy doesn't have the ability to make tmura. Ve'en mevin nesachim, unlike a yid who can offer, can donate oil, wine, a goy cannot do that. Aval karbonon until nesachim, surely his carbon requires nesachim to be brought along with it. Again, the other carbon, but he can't donate nesachim separate, just as a separate standalone donation. Divrei, all this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yosi, I disagree. Roya ani bekulan lahachmer, I treat the carbon of a goy just like the carbon of a yid. It has the same standard. Shenamar b'hem, because it says Lashem. Right? The pasuk says, a goy, we makriv, ish, right? Ish, all men, even goy. They send the carbon, shekriv Lashem, it's a carbon Lashem. So ultimately, it's the same carbon. Has the same halachis, just like a yiddish carbon. Now, when Rabbi Shimon excluded the carbon of a goy from mi'ila, says the Braisa, that only applies to an animal, a carbon belonging on the mizbeach, it's exempt from mi'ila. But b'med v'mamur, when do we say it's exempt from mi'ila? B'kachim mizbeach, by a regular carbon. Aval b'kachim b'deka bayis, but the goy should donate material, for building maintenance or sending money for building maintenance. That's like any other hegdish possession. If one uses it, he has committed mi'ila. Why this difference between the two types? We'll see in the Gemara. Coming up right now, actually. So regarding a carbon sent by a goy, loy nehenen, loy mailen, one should not misuse it. But if he does, there's no mi'ila. Why? Explains the Gemara, loy nehenen, that's only midrabanan. Keep away midrabanan. But technically, he has not committed mi'ila. Because we learn mi'ila from teruma, which is specific to a yid. the Gemara Me'ila, because the halachas of Me'ila are learned by way of a Gzera Shava connection. Using the words Chet, it says Chet here, it says Chet by Truma, so we connect to Truma, Chet Chet Mitruma. And by Truma, what does it say? By Truma Ksiv, it says Bnei Yisrael. We learned that it only applies to a yid, not to a guy. Just as truma is limited to a yid, likewise me'ila by karbanis of a yid only. There's no pigul eis v'tamei applicable as well. My time, why? So the starting point here is the halacha of tuma. The Torah warns against consuming a carbon when the person is tamei. And over there it says bnei Yisrael, limited to a yid. A yid's carbon, we extend that over to noiser, and then extend it over to pigul by way of a double gzera shava. My time, why the osay pigul? Because pigul will learn through the gzera shava using the words avin, avin, avin from noiser. It says avin by pigul, avin by noiser. We connect avin, avin by noiser. And noiser himself learns from tuma, which is limited to a yid. V'aser noiser, noiser will learn through a gzera shava using the words chilul, chilul from tuma, be tuma. And by Tuma it says, Tuma, which is the source material, it says Bnei Yisrael. Only Kachay Bnei Yisrael, only a Jewish carbon, Veloi, not the carbon of Oide Kacham. So once we establish that Tuma only applies to Oidish carbon, by extension, Noiser as well, and Pigle as well. Venus and Tumura, cannot generate a Tumura, my time, why? The Iskash Trumura Lamasa, Behema. We find a connection in the Pasa between Tumura and Maser Behemoth, that's the tenth animal, which is born as a carbon. And then we turn around and we connect Maser Behemoth to Maser Dagan, to grain Maser taken from the farm. And by the Maser Dagan, we know it only applies to a yid. So by extension, Maser Behemoth as well, and Tamura as well. By way of this double hekesh, this double connection. My time is Iskish Tmura Lamasar Behemo, Masar Behemo, Iskish Lamasar Dog, Masar Dog and Ksib. By Masar Dog and it says, Bnei Yisrael, as opposed to a Goy, Veloy of the Kichav. Now the question is, we all know that by halachis of Karbonis, we cannot make a double Hekish. It just doesn't work. You can make a double Gzeresheva, not a double Hekish. And here it's a double Hekish. First we're connecting Maser Behemoth to Maser Dogan, because it says Aser to Aser, a double Maser, connecting the two types of Masers. Then we take the halacha that we now learned from Maser Dogan to Maser Behemoth, we take that and export it further to Tmura by way of another connection, because the pasuk relates to Tmura and Maser Behemoth in the same pasuk. Vahayahu Tmurasai, the Maser Behemoth and his exchange. So we have a double connection. First, we take the information from Maser Dagan, transport it to Maser Behema, and then over to Tumura. You can't do that when it comes to halachas of Karbanis. V'chidavar alomad behekesh. Since when is something, is information which is derived from a hekesh? Chozer alomad behekesh could now turn around and be exported further to another destination by way of another hekesh. How can he do that? Answer is Maser Dagan Chulunu. The source here, the source of this whole chain, is Maser Dagan, right? And that's really Chulun, that's not Kodesh material. So that allows for this extended connection. Maser Dagan Chulunu. Yeah, that, it all depends. If the determining factor is what the source material is, then you're right. There's no issue in this case. But if that doesn't really determine, rather it's the recipient, it depends whether he's Kodesh or not. Well, then in that case, the recipient here is Kodesh, which doesn't allow for a double connection. Honich l'manda, that's according to the opinion Basar Malam and Azlin. We look at the teacher, we look at the source. El l'manda, Basar Malam and Azlin, we look at the recipient, the one who's trying to learn. Michael, remember, in this case you can't because it's all Kachem. Elar says the Gemara like this. We don't need a double connection. We have one connection between Tmura and Maser Behemoth. And we all know that Maser Behemoth is only limited to a Yid. Why? Rashi says that the Pasuk, which allows a guy to bring a carbon, speaks about Nedarim, Nedreim, Nedvoisim, he promises, he donates, rather than something which is a chayva, an obligatory carbon, whether it has a set time or not a set time. Even though the Gemara does relate to set time, Rashi explains, we don't want to get involved in obligatory carbons that don't have a set time, because then we, you know, it gets confusing, and it sounds almost like he can't bring anything. In any case, the point here is that the only carbon that a gari can offer is something which is comparable to maser. That's only a donation, not something which is like maser behema. Maser behema is an example of a carbon which a gari cannot bring because it's a chayva. It's something which is a chayva. It's an obligation. So just like the Maser Behemah is off limits to a goy, likewise Tzmura, which is connected to Maser Behemah in the Pasuk. Simple as that. Elo Maser Behemah Choyva. Rather, Maser Behemah is an example of a carbon, which is a Choyva. You have to do it. Shein Kavul Ozman, which doesn't really have a set time, but the point is that it's, main thing is that it's a Choyva. Shein Kavul Ozmanu. And V'Choyva, an obligatory carbon, Shein Kavul Ozman, which doesn't have a set time, Yisrael Maisu, only a Yid brings. V'Loyv G'chavim, V'Gham Le Maisu, a goy doesn't bring. Likewise, it's Tzmura, which is in the same pasuk. What else? Vein mezivin nisach. In contrast to a yid, who can just donate wines and oils, a guy can't do that. Tana rabbanon. Why? Because by the discussion of nisachim, which is in Parsha Shlach Lecha, the pasuk refers to the term ezrach, a citizen. Only a permanent member of our community has the ability to bring nisachim as a separate donation. Ezrach may be nisachim, but a guy not. Vein avgichav may be nisach. Okay, if he's locked out of Nesachim, perhaps his carbon doesn't either require Nesachim, which is a standard fare for every carbon. Yachal, loite, lose, whatever his carbon, arla. It would not either need Nesachim to the Nesachim time. Lema kacha, no, we have the pasuk. Kacha yasal ashar. Every shar, every carbon needs Nesachim, whether a yid's carbon or a guy's carbon. Rashi explains it. In fact, if the guy sends it in, fine, but if fails to send it in, we have to, you know, the community sponsors it, because that's a required accompanying to every carbon. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, many halachas do not apply to a goy's carbon, pigel, noiser, tamei, mi'ila, tmura, and shechita b'chutz. Rabbi Yisi disagrees. I'm Rabbi Yisi, re'ani b'kulon l'hachmer. I'm strict with a goy's carbon as well. All halachas apply. But then the Gemara concludes, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who discounts the goy's carbon from Me'ilah, that only applies to a carbon of a goy, but not a donation that he donated to the, you know, Bedek HaBayis, to the building fund. My time, why that difference between Kachim Mizbeach, which are free of Me'ilah, and Kachim Bedek HaBayis, which have Me'ilah? My time, because he holds. Let's go back to the source. How do we know to discount Me'ilah? By way of connecting to Truma. Now, Truma is inherently holy. Can't redeem it. It's not just a financial kedusha; it's inherent kedusha. Likewise, a korban mizbech, which has inherent kedusha, has the same status and is free of mila. But kedusha b'dekabayis, which is a different type of kedusha. Kedusha is dumb. It's a monetary status. So that is a different runs according to different, you know, laws. And there would be Me'ila there as well. My time, because he holds Ki Gamra Me'ila. Chet Chet Mitruma. When Me'ila was learned from Truma, by the way, the Chet Chet Tirashava, Dumi the Truma, the Kaddish of Dushagov. That's limited to something which has the same, you know, type of Kaddisha like Truma, which is inherently Kaddish. Such as Kachem Mizbeach. Aval Kaddisha with the Gabais, but Kaddisha with the Gabais, Dushas Dama, which is monetarily Kaddish. A different type of Kaddisha Loi. A different system, and Mila would apply there as well. Now there's one more element we have yet to discuss. Re-tzitzitz. So the tzitz, the golden, you know, forehead plate that the Kohen Gadol would wear, which says Kodesh Lashem, would in effect generate an override system, just in case there was some sort of tumah mishap in the Beis HaMikdash, of the blood of a carbon became tamei, and the kohen, you know, processed it. So the tzitz would affect a ritzui. would sort of override that issue and allow the process through. Does that apply to a carbon of a guy? Should his carbon become tamei and the kohen did the zrika? Does the tzitz address it? Tana rabbanan, dam shenitma, blood of a carbon, the base immediately became tamei. Vizark and the kohen did zrika regardless, b'shoigig, by mistake, hurtza. It's accepted. The tzitz takes care of it. But if he did it knowingly, b'meid lo yurtza. No, doesn't count. Now Rashi explains why it's a knas med rabbanan. He shouldn't have done it. Rabbanan penalized him. And it doesn't mean to say you bring a new carbon. You can't bring a new carbon because if in a Torah it was a valid carbon, you can't just bring your own carbon now, unnecessarily. It just means to say you can't eat the flesh. We treat it like an invalid carbon. But when do we say this is so? B'yachad, by a private carbon. But if this occurred with a public carbon, bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezer, hurts, whether it happened b'shoigig, b'mezer, the tzitz takes care of it. We treat it like a valid kosher carbon. That's only by a Jewish carbon. By a non-Jewish carbon, it will not benefit from the tzitz's services. Either way, loy hurts. There's no ritzu. It's as though the carbon was not done. Now you think that this brisa is only in line with Rabbi Shimon, who differentiates between a carbon of a yid, carbon of a guy regarding many halachas, likewise regarding ritzu tzitz. But according to Rabbi Yasi, who treats the carbon of a guy pretty much the same as the yid, perhaps ritzu tzitz will apply to it as well. Amru Rabbanu, so Rabbanu presented their suggestion, kamei, in front of the Rabbanu. Come on, like, who are we going? Look, Rabbi Yasi, apparently not Rabbi Yasi, because according to him, why would you differentiate? The Rabbi Yosi, according to him, Ha'amar, didn't he tell us? V'kulon, regarding all those halachis, pigul, noisar, etc. Ani roya lahachmer, I consider the carbon of a guy same standard. I'm strict. I apply them all to the guy as well. Assumingly, Ritzitzitz too. Amud Rapapa, said Rapapa, no. Ritzitzitz is different. Even Rabbi Yosi agrees. Filutin Rabbi Yosi, this b'risa works even according to Rabbi Yosi. You know why? Shani Hasan, the makro. By Ritzitzitz, it's very different because the part of Torah singles out, it says, V'hoya al mitzchei tamid, the tzitzit is placed on his metzach, l'ratzoin lohem lifnei Hashem, only for them. For who? For the Yidden. Lohem means lohem, v'loy, and not for the guy, lev kicham. So they're locked out of this system. Amalei rafuna, breder ha'nosn rafapa, yes rafapa. If lohem is limiting, is excluding the guy, what about the pasuk asher haim by the halacha of refraining from eating a carbon on your tummy, which according to Rabbi applies to the guy's carbon as well. But the carbon says, haim, which according to you is exclusionary. Elimiat, if that's the case, asher haim magdishim. Here as well, you should say haim means only a carbon of a yid is open to this halacha. V'loy, and not the carbon of a kechavim. But clearly Rabbi Yisi said that halachas of tum apply there as well. It's actually differentiated. Elim Ravashi, let me explain to you. Amar Kro, the pasuk by the tzitz says l'rotzen. L'rotzen, the focus is on the word l'rotzen. Only a yid has that, Rashi explains. L'rotzen lehem means rotzen l'akadish baruch hu'hem. She'enem es rotzen lehem. Only a yid is zeichet to find this added favor in the eyes of Hashem. So even though there's a mishap, the carbon was tamei, the tzitz allows it through by relating to rotzen. The ratzin is lashon of will, our ratzin, our desire, our inherent deep desire is to do Hashem's ratzin. Ratzeinenu, right? Lasses ratzenecha. So Hashem sort of allows it through, overlooks this, superficial, deficiency. Deep down, you're good. You want to be. So the tzitz takes care of that. L'ratzin lehem. We assume a guy doesn't have that privilege. Lav bnei hartzah ninu. They're not candidates for hartzah. They don't have this internal line up with Hashem. So that allows us to conclude that the tzitz will only help the carbon of a yid. Only a yid has that privilege. Okay, so in summary, a guy can send in a carbon, a neder, a nadava. What about its status? According to Rabbi Shimon, Many halachas only apply to either shakarim, not to obey shakarim, such as pikul nisar atame, meila, shrita b'chutz, tamura. A guy cannot bring nesachim as a separate standalone donation. Rabbi Yossi is machmer all these things, but even he agrees a guy will not benefit from ritzitzitz. Continues the mission. Back to the Tawa topic of pigul. So although we had a long list of items that are not really open to pigul, because as we discussed many times, the pigul status is limited to a carbon which has that dual component, the mater-niter arrangement. The item that permits and the item that gets permitted, such as the flesh of a carbon, which gets permitted for consumption by the processing of the dam. And should pigul occur during the processing of the dam, that carries over to the permitted item. So the dam affects the other pot for better or for worse. But the dam itself doesn't have a permitter. Right? He's not affected by others. So the pigul status doesn't apply to him. Likewise, if it's a, you know, keteris, which is just a single item without, you know, a double component to it, there's no pigul as well. However, says the Mishnah, you should know, although pigul would not apply to these things, but other halachas do, like noiser, like tamei, right? They're left overnight. One eats it, he's chayev karas. If one is tamei and eats these things, he's chayev karas. Those apply to all items. Even in edibles, like firewood of the mizbeach, like the incense. Rashi brings this a pasuk, v'habasar, extra pasuk, to include even things which are inedible. The fact that they're kodesh material, we sort of elevate them to a higher status, they're deemed like they're edible, and susceptible to all penalties of edible materials. Says the Mishnah Devarim, even those items, she'ein chayev on aleim, mishum pigul, which one is not chayev on them on account of pigul, but chayev on aleim, mishum noisur, mishum tami, those apply. We have one exception, dam. Chutzpana, dam, blood is different, as we'll see in the Gemara. Rav Shimon says, you know, I grant you the edible items, but not the inedibles. Rav Shimon mechayev b'davar shadarkan le'echol. He says, yeah, things which are edible, fine. Aval ha'etzim, but wood, v'alavoyna, akteris, inedible spice, incense. Ein chayev alav mishum tumah. There's no chayev tumah. And the first one explained, you know, noiser as well. He says it's limited only to edibles. Tana rabbanu. So how do we know, in fact, that noiser and tamei are broader than pigul, which is limited to specific items? Tana rabbanu. Yochel lo yuchayav mishum tuma. Perhaps no. Tuma is limited only to things which have pigul. El adav sheish lo matirin. Bein adam bein mizbeach. Just like pigul requires matirin. Right, for instance, the basar of the carbon has matirin, so the blood is mata the basar for personal consumption. It's mata the imurin for mizbeach consumption. So perhaps the chiv of tumah, which means that if a person's tummy eats these things, is limited likewise to this type of material. Vidinu, and actually, I can prove it through logic, through a kal v'chomer. If pigul is limited, certainly tumah is limited. Why? Uma pigul, since pigul, which in a way has more strictnesses over tumah. Three elements of chumrah. Number one, shubu kviya. One transgresses pigul, has to bring a very expensive animal, a set animal, a fixed, you know, there's no fluctuations, it's not financially dependent. It's not like the other korbanos, some of them which you can choose to bring a bird, a mirch. No, you gotta bring an animal. It's a set, fixed thing. Ubidiya achas. And in a way, it's very easy to trigger this liability. One discovery is enough, Rashi explains. As long as he finds out after the fact, he ate pigul, he has to bring a carbon. Likewise, there are no exceptions to the rule. There are no situations which allow for pigul. So he has three advantages. Still, he's limited in scope. Ein chayav alav, elal davar sheyesh lematirin bein la'adam bein mezbeach. He's limited to only those items which have matir. Certainly tumah, which doesn't even have those three advantages. In fact, he has three disadvantages relative to pigul. Number one, in terms of the cost of the carbon, shiba ilo biyard, it's a fluctuating carbon. If he can't afford, he brings birds or even a mincha. So it's more lenient. Number two, b'shtei yadiyos. there are more conditions. It's harder to be liable for a tumah. Two yediyos, Rashi explains, he has to know beforehand that he became tummy, and after the fact, discover that he ate it when he was tummy. So it's, in a way, it's harder to trigger this liability. Vucha mechlolo. Thirdly, there are exceptions. Right? If it's a public carbon, we all know, it's mutter. You can bring a carbon even when you're tummy. So the concept of tumma has mitigating factors. So wouldn't you think that certainly his scope is limited as well? Wouldn't you agree she ain't a chayev ella al davar sheish lematirin bein la'adam bein la'mesbeach, that perhaps tumah only applies to those types of items which have matirin, just like a pigle. It can't be worse than pigle. Tamalayimah, no, says the pasuk regarding warning against eating something when you're tumah. Shehei magdishim li, keep away from the karbonis of Bnei Yisrael. Shehei magdishim li, this covers all types of karbonis. Okay, fine. Settled. Now, at what point always speaking, before the carbon was processed? So a person's tummy eating the carbon. He's chayv karas, even if he ate it before the carbon was processed, or do we need a fully processed carbon to trigger this liability? Yochel miyad, perhaps right away? No, tamalami yikrav. Pasuk says, she yikrav mekal zarachem. Yikrav means, we're going to conclude it means like a lashon of carbon, lashon of processed. So after it's processed and it's enabled for consumption, if one eats it, it's chayv karas. But we'll get to that in a second. So first we have the word yikra, which almost sounds like come close, touch, contact. Just for contacting the carbon, touching the carbon, he gets karas. Amar blazer, nah. V'chiyeshen ageshu chayv. Since one is touching a carbon, triggering chiyuv. In fact, the next pasuk there says if he eats, I mean, we're talking about eating. Elamatam al-mikra. So why is the pasuk use the word yikra to tell you? At what point in the process we're speaking about? Tumma only applies b'huchshali karav akasam adabar, a karav which has been enabled for akrava. It has gone through its process of akrava. And now it's ready for consumption by man or by mizbeach. Hoketa, for instance, yesh lematirin, it's a standard karav which has matirin, for instance, it has the blood, she karav matirav, as soon as the blood is processed, now the rest is been freed, permitted for personal or mizbeach consumption. He chooses to eat it when he's tummy. Now, he's liable. In the matirin, the karmus doesn't have matirin, such as, you know, the kaimitz itself, or, you know, mishi kadosh bekli. So in that case, inserted into a holy vessel, it's now elevated, and it's enabled for processing, for Akhtar on the Mizbeach, etc. Right? So the Mincha of the Kayin, which is fully burnt on the Mizbeach, as soon as it gets into the Kli, it's now enabled for further consumption, the Mizbeach consumption. At this point, the Chiv of Tumah kicks in. Okay, Ashkan Tumah, we have settled the Tumah Halacha. It applies to all these Karbanos. And the Mishnah said, just because Pigal doesn't apply, doesn't mean that Tumah doesn't apply. Doesn't mean Naisra doesn't apply. Now we've settled Tumah, what about Naisra? How do we know that Noiser too has a broader scope than Pigle? Noiser Menolam. We learn it from Tumah. Asya, we learn it through Xer Shava. Chilu Chilu Mitumah. It says Chilu here, it says Chilu by Tumah. We connect and we compare. Why? Why don't you learn from Pigle? That it's limited. V'leilav, oven with Pigle. Let's learn through a different Xer Shava. Oven over here, oven by Pigle. Limited to only specific items. No, Mistavra, it's more probable to learn it from Tumah. Mitumah v'leilav, because we have three commonalities between Noiser and Tumah. Shekin Gezel Simen stands for three items. Gimel, Zayin, Lamed. Rashi explains. In contrast to Pigel, which is an external force, it's a thought process which was an external from the carbon, Tumah is internal. It's on the material itself. And likewise, Noiser. The carbon was left over. It's internally, inherently deficient. That's one comparison. The Zayin stands for Zrika. So in contrast to Pigel, which requires the Zrika as the culmination of the Akrava to trigger the Pigel, Tumah and Noiser doesn't have that. The Zrika by Pigel is what triggers the Psul. But Noiser and Tumah were not caused by the Zrika. Let's put it this way. It wasn't caused by the Zrika. That was done with the improper thought. So once again, they have that commonality, which Pigel doesn't have. And finally, Lamed is Chilul. Stands for the Lamed in the word Chilul. In both Noiser and Tumah, we have the word Chilol as opposed to Pikul. So we have enough in common between these two, which explains the connection. Shengei Gadolson. Well, one second, look elsewhere. Adrab, just the opposite. Pigal have a little melech. If anything, I prefer connecting Noiser to Pigal. In fact, we have five common denominators between those two, which are not found by the Tuma. Shekein Hutar, Tzitz, Tor, Bezman, Kare, five items. First one is Hutar, in contrast to Tuma, which has allows for leeway, allows for exception if it's a public carbon. Noiser and Pigal don't have any exceptions. Next item is Tzitz, in contrast to Tuma, which is sometimes accommodated, overridden by the tzitz. Noiser and Pigal don't have that luxury. Third item is Tahar. Pigal and Noiser are both Tahar materials as opposed to Tuma, which is different, it's Tami. Bezman, Pigal and Noiser are both time-related deficiencies. Pigal is where he was plotting. Noiser was actually left beyond its time. Finally, we have Karev. In contrast to Tuma, whereas the person eating, not the actual carbon material, Noiser and Pigal aren't on the deficiencies within the actual material, aren't inefficient. These are more in number. It's five comparisons as opposed to the three comparisons between the other, between Noiser and Tuma. So go this way, right? So this is the equation. We have, on the right side of the spectrum, we have, Tuma, which we've established applies to all carbonates, not limited to certain, applies to everything. On the other side of the equation, we have Pigal, which is very limited, only things that have Matir. In the middle, we have Noisa. Which way to go? Compare it to Tuma and give it a broader scope, or compare it to Pigal? Says the Gemara, Ella rather than Tani Levi, it's based on Levi. Tani Levi. He's going to focus back on that pasuk which speaks about Tuma. And within that pasuk itself, we have a hint, a reference to Noiser as well, that it applies to all carbonates. And that settles the issue. Tani Levi, Menayin Shaf Psul Zman, how do we know that within that pasuk, warning against eating something when you're tummy, there's also a reference to Psul Zman, to material which has overstayed its time, i.e. Noiser. Tamalayma v'lo yechalalu as kosher b'nei yisrael. Yechalalu, says Rashi, is Lashon Rabim. Could have said lo yechalalu. Shouldn't, desecrate. Yechalalu is plural. B'shnei chilulun. HaKosav v'tav Torah here is indicating two types of chilul. Ech r'psul noiser, ech r'psul tuma, whether the issue is tuma or noiser, and both apply to all karbanis. As per the pasuk, asher hei magdishim, right? Magdishim, as we said before, is a broad reference to all types of karbanis. Hence we know that although pigul is limited to certain karbanis, but just as tuma is unlimited, likewise, noiser. All the best to you and atzlacha rab.